For our scripture reading this morning, we turn in God's Word to Isaiah 43. Isaiah chapter 43. Read the first 21 verses of Isaiah 43 this morning. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise, they are extinct, they are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness, and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness, and rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. We read the Word of God that far this morning. The text for our sermon is the first two verses of this chapter. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, gathered here this morning in order to commit our way in the year 2021 to the Lord. As we stand at the beginning of a new year, we're impressed by the uncertainties that may come in the year ahead. If we learned anything from the year 2020, it's that we do not know what the Lord may send to us in a year's time. There are uncertainties with respect to our place as citizens in this country, and what may take place in our country in the year ahead. There are uncertainties with what may take place in our denomination of churches in the year ahead. There are the uncertainties of our own lives personally and the uncertainties for our families. And as we dwell upon the uncertainties of the year that lies before us, it's very easy for us to respond in fear and in worry. How important, therefore, that we gather here in the house of the Lord to have our hearts and our minds settled by the peace of God. How fitting that we gather to commit our way to the Lord and seek the guidance and the comfort of His Word for the year that is to come. We go forward in this coming year with our trust firmly placed in the Lord, seeking our refuge under the shadow of His wings. And our confidence as we face the future is in the unchanging faithfulness and the abiding love of our God and Father. Isaiah 43 is a fitting passage to consider at such an occasion. This word of God was written by the prophet Isaiah under the inspiration of the Spirit 100 years before God's people in Judah were taken into captivity in Babylon. And yet God gave Isaiah to see that that was going to be a reality, that they were going to be taken as captives into Babylon. At the end of the previous chapter, chapter 42, Isaiah describes that as if it is already a reality. He speaks of God's people being robbed and spoiled by their enemies. He describes the just wrath of God pouring out upon them as a burning fire. How overwhelmed must the people of Judah have been as they considered what was to come in their future. But here in chapter 43, the tone shifts. The passage begins with the words, "but now," drawing a contrast to what was described before. And now the tone in chapter 43 is the tone of comfort and hope and encouragement. Though you walk through the deep waters and pass through the rivers, though you walk through the fire and the flames, you will not be overwhelmed. You will not be consumed, because I am with you and you are mine. It's a precious promise of God to His people at all times and in all ages. A promise filled with precious gospel comfort for God's people who are weary and distressed. It's a passage that's memorable. It's one that we turn to often for comfort in our trials and in our distresses. May this word of God be our comfort and our guide in the year 2021. 2021. Consider this passage this morning under the theme, Fearless in Fire and Water. First, let's take note of the trials. Secondly, the comfort. And then thirdly, the response. Fearless in fire and water, trials, the comfort, and the response. The Word of God here describes the great sorrows and the fiery trials that His people experience. The Word of God describes those great sorrows and fiery trials with the illustration of deep water and burning flames. Those are figures that are often used in the Word of God to describe the trials that we experience. There are many passages in the Word of God that describe the overwhelming sorrows and griefs of God's people as deep waters. We sang of that just a moment ago out of Psalm 42. It's also described in Psalm 77, verse 19. The psalmist is greatly afflicted there, and toward the end of the psalm he says, "Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known." The Word of God also describes the fiery trials that we experience with the figure of the flames. And one example of that is 1 Peter 1, verse 7, which says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The text is describing the life and circumstances of God's people in this world in terms of a pilgrimage. God's people are described here as travelers. They're on a journey. They're traveling to some place. And as they're traveling, they encounter deep waters that must be passed through. There are swollen, raging rivers that must be forded. And the path on which they travel might take them through the wilderness, in which there are wildfires that must be passed through as they continue on their journey. Such is the reality of our life as Christians in the midst of this world. Our life is a sojourn. We're pilgrims and we're strangers. We have no abiding place here in this world. This is not our home, but we're journeying to our everlasting home in heaven. And along the way, in our pilgrimage, God may send deep waters and burning flames that we must pass through. God may send many grievous sorrows and difficult trials upon us. The text teaches us several important truths about those sorrows and trials. The text teaches us that this is a reality for the church and us as members of the church in this world. The text does not say if you pass through the waters and the rivers, and if you happen to pass through the fire and the flames, but it says when you pass through the deep waters and the rivers, and when you pass through the fire and the flames. This is a reality for the Christian in this world. It might come upon us to differing degrees. It might be brought upon us by the Lord at different times and in different ways and in different circumstances. But it is a reality for all of us that on our earthly pilgrimage, we will experience sorrows and trials. The text teaches that Those are things that we must pass through. There may be certain circumstances in our lives that can be avoided. But most often, God ordains circumstances that cannot be avoided. God, for example, might send a sickness to which there is no cure. God may take a loved one from us in death, which cannot be avoided. Just as the traveler on his journey in encountering that swollen river must go through it, he can't go around one way or the other way. He can't go over. He can't go under. The only way is through the river. So also for the Christian, often the only way forward for us is directly through the sorrow and the trial. It can't be avoided. It's something that we must experience and go through. The text teaches us that that will be painful. These trials are described as deep waters in which we feel as if we're overwhelmed. It's described as a burning flame. It's not easy. It's not the case that being Christians, now that means that whenever we face some struggle in life, that it's not a problem and it's easy. And we ought to be able as Christians to say that this isn't hard for us. That's not the case at all. All one has to do is to read the book of Psalms, for example, in which there are psalms of lament, where the child of God, overwhelmed in deep affliction, and not in a sinful way, but cries out to God and brings a lament to God. And the pain and the sorrow and the struggle of the trial. God's way for us will cause us to experience pain, loss, sorrow, and difficulty and struggle. For some, that may be a present reality and may continue to be a present reality in the new year. May be the case that there are new, unexpected sorrows and trials that God is pleased to send upon us in the year 2021. That's not to say that God's way for us is only sorrow. At times there are sorrows, but there are also joys. God does send joys to us in the Christian life. And we do wrong as Christians if we ignore the joys and we focus only upon the sorrows. We ought to take stock of the joys and the blessings that God has given to us, remember them, give thanks to God for them. There are joys that God sends in our earthly pilgrimage, and there are also sorrows. This past year has impressed upon us the fact that we do not know what God may send upon us in a year's time. We can stand at the beginning of a year and not anticipate the struggles and the trials that God has in store for us. There are uncertainties in our life as citizens of this country, the uncertainties of life in a nation presumably under a new president. The uncertainties of the economy, the uncertainties of the COVID-19 pandemic and the restrictions of the government. There are uncertainties for us as a denomination of churches. There's uncertainties for us as individuals and as families. God's way for us in 2021 might be filled with many sorrows and afflictions. It might mean for us terrible, aching loneliness. It might be some debilitating disease, injury and pain and sickness. It might mean for us the loss of loved ones. It might be financial hardship and struggle. There may be great trials that God brings upon us, deep waters that we must pass through in this coming year. What's our response to that? What is our immediate and our natural response to that? Our immediate response is often the response of fear. Passage exhorts us, fear not, do not be afraid. But what's implied in that exhortation is the fact that this is true of us. We need to hear this because we are so easily afraid in the face of the dangers and the uncertainties of our pilgrimage. Fear is that awful, aching sense of dread and panic that we have in the face of some present danger that we experience or the anticipation of some struggle to come in the future. We may be filled with fear and dread on account of our present circumstances, the present pressures and the stresses and the present responsibilities of life that seem to us to be so overwhelming. On account of those circumstances, we feel as if we're in the deep water. We feel like we're drowning. We feel like the waves and the billows are crashing over our head. We feel like we can't catch our breath, as if the pressure of the deep waters is pressing upon us to such a degree. We have the fear of a man who's drowning. We might be worried with respect to what may come in the future. Not our present circumstances, but something we anticipate to come in the future. And our hearts and our minds are filled with worry. We're panicky. We're jittery. We feel this overwhelming feeling of dread that things are going to spin totally out of our control in the future. And the worst imaginable outcome is going to take place. We might fear because God's way before us is dark. It's through the sea and the footsteps are unknown to us. We don't know and understand what God's will is for us in our life. We struggle with His will for our life. We have a sense of unease and an unsettled feeling in our soul, because we struggle to submit ourselves to the way of God before us. We might be filled with fear because the way in which God is leading us is a way through the deep water and through the fiery flames. And we don't know how we're going to get through that. It all seems to be too much for us. We feel as if we're going to be crushed and overwhelmed and to drown under the weight, the sorrows and the struggles of this life. We might so despair and be brought so low with fear. That we experience the greatest fear that a child of God can experience, which is the hopeless fear that God doesn't care. That God has forgotten, He's forsaken, and He's abandoned us in the deep waters. Psalm 77 again, will the Lord cast off forever? And will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean, gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Where is God? Does He know? Does He even care? Where are His mercies? What is your response? Walking presently through the deep waters and the fiery flames. What's your response as you look ahead to 2021 and the uncertainties of the new year? Are you filled with fear and worry? God says to us, fear not. Do not be afraid. Don't be filled with fear and worry. And that because God promises us here that though the way is in the sea, we will not be overwhelmed. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the flame, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. God's promise of comfort to us is that we will not be overwhelmed and drowned in the deep waters, and we will not be consumed by the flame. That's not a promise that God's way for us is easy and there won't be any trials or hardships. When we pass through, these things will be a reality. Neither is it the case that this promise is such that though our way is in that sea and through that fire, that now it becomes easy for us. That it's not hard and we don't experience pain and struggle. That's not the promise either. It will be difficult. God's promise is that though He leads us through the deep waters and through the fiery flames where we feel as if we'll be overwhelmed, God will not allow us to be overwhelmed and to drown in the waves, and God will not allow the fire to consume us and destroy us. Positively, what that is a promise that God will sustain us by His grace. God will not abandon us in our time of need, but will give the grace necessary for that day to bear up under those sorrows and afflictions. He'll give the grace to walk through the deep waters and the grace to pass through the flame. And in addition to that, He assures us that these things work for our good. Not only that He'll preserve us through them, but also that in those circumstances He's working them for our good. That comes out in the text, especially from the reference to the fires. The illustration that's often used in the Word of God is that of the refiner and the purifier of the precious metals. He takes the gold or the silver and he puts it into the heat of the flames. And it has to remain there for a time to burn off all of the impurities so that when it's taken out, it's purified. and it's strengthened. God is the refiner, who in his perfect wisdom places us into the fire of trials, not to destroy us, but to purify us and to strengthen our faith, so that when he brings us out of that, we're refined and purified as the gold and the silver. God's purpose in our trials is not to destroy us, but to sanctify us. It's through those trials that God is working on us. He's molding us. He's shaping us. He's growing us so that more and more we're conformed in our life to his image in Christ. He assures us and comforts us that he'll give us the grace that we stand in need of, and that these things are working for our good and salvation. That's true for us personally. That's true for his church. There's comfort here for each individual believer in his own life circumstances. There's comfort for the church. God will not abandon his church. But the church will certainly be preserved by God in the midst of this world. And that because, the text says, God is with us. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Our confidence going through the waters and the fire is not that by our own strength and our own grit and determination we can get through those things. The comfort is not, well, I'll try and escape these things and avoid what God has sent, or though I can't change the circumstances, just find some escape in something else. Our comfort is to know God is with us. God is with us in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Emmanuel, God with us. He's with us in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who lives within us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He'll never abandon us. He's not far off and distant from us, observing from some great distance the child of God in the deep waters. He's with us. He's right there with us. The waters and the fires. It's because he's with us, and only because he's with us, that the waters do not overwhelm and the fires do not consume. Because God is with us, we can walk through the deep waters and not be overwhelmed, because God is with us. We can pass through the flames and not be consumed, because God is with us. We are assured of his grace to sustain us and preserve us. Because God is with us, we know that he will avert all evil, return it to our profit. Do not be afraid. The waters won't drown you and the flames won't consume you, because God is with you. That promise of God is grounded firmly on the truth of the gospel here. There's a number of things in the text that are given as the firm foundation of this promise of God. First, in verse 1, we're told that God has formed and created his church. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Just as God created the heaven and the earth and formed Adam out of the dust in the beginning, so has he created and formed his church. As God said in the beginning, let there be light, and there was light. So God said, let there be a redeemed church. And there is a church. He's formed us and he's recreated us. In his gracious salvation of us. Secondly, we're told that God redeemed us. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Time would fail us to tell this morning of all the blessed aspects of the truth of our redemption. Simply put, it's this. We are hopelessly in bondage to sin without any way of escape in ourselves. And the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the ransom price in the shedding of his own blood. He's redeemed us. He's delivered us out of bondage into the liberty of being the sons and the daughters of God. Jesus Christ passed through the depths. And Jesus Christ passed through the fiery flames of hell, which you and I will never have to experience. Christ passed through that way. Redeem us, to pay for our sins, and to free us. Third, the text says at the end of verse 1, I have called thee by thy name. He's given to us a name, a new name. In eternity, in his sovereign decree of election, and in our own lifetime, he efficaciously, powerfully, savingly calls us. He calls us out of the darkness into his marvelous light, and he draws us to himself. Sweet communion and covenant fellowship. And fourth, the text says at the end of verse 1, thou art mine. You're mine. All of these things that have been said are summed up in this one brief statement. You're mine. I formed you and created you. I redeemed you. I called you by your name. You are mine. This is the truth of the covenant summed up. I am your God. You are my people. You're mine. I am yours forever and ever. And all of this because God loves us. Verse 4, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. He loves us. He loves us for Christ's sake. He loves us with an unchanging, unbreakable love. He loves us so that he draws us to himself in unbreakable cords of love. And this is how we know that he'll always be with us. His promise always to be with us is grounded in the gospel. That he's redeemed us. He's given Christ for us. He's established his covenant with us. He loves us and he will never go back on those promises. He cannot break those promises as the unchanging God. Therefore, we know he'll be with us in the waters and the fires. He will not leave us or forsake us. Will be with us, preserve us, and strengthen us. God in his love had some better way for us, He would have put us there and ordained those circumstances. He's ordained these circumstances for us, the way through the waters and the fire, in His perfect wisdom, because this is best for us. In His perfect, unbreakable love, He's ordained these circumstances for our good. And though we might not be able to see that always now, glory, we'll realize we didn't have one trial too many. Not one trial too many, all of them perfectly ordained by God for our good. So rather than judging His love by our circumstances, judging whether He loves us and cares for us in the light of our circumstances, and if they're hard, it then means He doesn't love us. No, we don't judge His love in the light of our circumstances. We judge our circumstances in the light of His love for us. In the confidence of His love, we have comfort. How do we respond? How do we respond to precious comfort of the gospel to us here? It's always in our lives the important question to ask ourselves, how am I tempted to respond and how must I respond? The trials and the sorrows that God sends upon us press upon us, but they don't force us to respond in a wrong way. The wrong response flows out of our hearts. What we must constantly be learning is what is the proper way to respond to God's hand. How do I respond in such a way that God is glorified? How am I tempted to think about these circumstances, but how ought I to think about these circumstances? The Word of God exhorts us, fear not. The response is not to be the response of fear. And that's an exhortation that's repeated over and over again in the Scriptures. According to one man's counting, the most frequent command of the Word of God: don't fear, don't be afraid. Over and over again, even here in the second part of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 41, verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Chapter 41, verse 13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. And again here in chapter 43, verse 5, fear not, for I am with thee. Do not be afraid. This is our natural response to the waters and the fires. This is how immediately we seem to respond with fear and worry about the uncertainty. The Word of God says that's not the way that we ought to respond. We have nothing to fear. Not because these things aren't difficult, but we have nothing to fear because we have God. God is with us. He loves us. He will not allow these things to overwhelm us and consume us. Do not fear, but positively respond in faith and trust and in a drawing near to Him who is near to us always. That's the opposite of fear. It's faith. Faith lays hold upon the precious promises of the gospel, knows these things to be truth, is confident these things are for me personally. And faith is trust and wholehearted dependence upon our God. By faith we lay hold of the promises of the Word of God. I've formed you, I've redeemed you, I've called you by your name, you're mine, I'm with you. By faith we know those things to be true for us. We're confident of that. By faith, we go forward in dependence and trust in our God. We don't know what the year 2021 will bring. There may be many joys and there may be many sorrows. But we have this absolute confidence for 2021. God has redeemed us. We're His. Therefore, He will certainly be with us in the deep waters and the fiery flames that may come, so that they will not overwhelm us. Face the uncertainty of this year and whatever God may bring, and that confidence. Look to Him, trust in Him, depend upon Him, and Him alone, who is your Father, your Redeemer, for Christ's sake. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the comfort of the gospel promises to us. Thy word is a source of guidance and hope and encouragement to we who are weary pilgrims. Strengthen us to go forward in confidence, to go forward with our trust in Thee alone. Deliver us from fear and from worry about the future. Grant to us, Father, the peace that surpasses understanding to guard our hearts and our minds. Forgive our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen.